are listening to
Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
It's 99.9 KISW Metal Shop, a band that we've been playing the hell out of ever since we started here on Metal Shop, is a band by the name of All Out War, and we are so stoked to have vocalist Mike Score on the line right now, all the way from, I believe, upstate New York, is that correct?
Yeah, where are you at?
Upstate New York.
Right on, man. So,
New York.
Mike, welcome to the Pacific Northwest. It's nice to have you over here, man.
in one way or another.
Having me on. Yeah.
Absolutely, man. So you're pretty stoked right now? I mean, your record's coming out this Friday, and it's actually called Crawl Among the Filth. You pretty stoked?
Yeah. We happy to have it out. You know, we recorded it in late February, you know, and Unbeaten Records have been doing a great job pushing it, so we're real happy with them. And, you know, it'll come out on Friday, and we'll see what happens from there.
So tell me a little bit about Unbeaten Records. This is the first time you've worked with them. Your last one came out on Organized Crime in 2017. Tell me a little bit about Unbeaten Records. We've actually never really even heard Unbeaten Records.
Well, ever since we've been off of Victory, we've been trying to keep it a little low key, so we've been working with a lot of friends. So Clint from Organized Crime is a good friend of ours, and then Buddy, who runs Unbeaten, is in a band called Stigmata from Albany, New York.
Yep.
And I've been friends with Buddy for years. So Buddy and I first started talking about doing an EP because All Out War had a couple of songs laying around, and then we were going to write a couple more, and then the writing just started to come really easy to us. So I called Buddy up and I said, hey, why don't we just hold off a little bit and give us a few more months and we'll give you a full length. And
nice.
Buddy was good with it, so that's what happened. Here we are.
That rules, man.
Is it nice to kind of do things a little bit more on your own terms? You mentioned since you left Victory.
Yeah, it's a lot better doing it on our own terms, especially for where we're at as a band, because, you know, we don't do this, you know, for a living, and we don't do this on a full-time basis. We do this because we really love doing it, and we've been doing this band for a long time, and, you know, there's no pressure when we're doing it with friends. They know what to expect from us. We know what to expect from them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been a great experience.
That's something that we noticed, and we talk about sometimes on the air, that Ringworm has been putting out consistently badass music since they've left Victory, and it almost seemed like a refresher for them to kind of do things on their own.
We're out of here.
Right. Well, you know, water under the bridge, but you know, it is nice.
Nice, dude.
That's all I'll say.
Yeah, all right, cool.
Fair enough, man.
All right, so hey, we have been paying attention because one of our good friends, Brian Ortiz from Zabulba, has always been one of your guys' biggest progenitors, at least with us, and we've been playing All Out War forever. But this article that just came out of Kerrang, man, paying tribute to All Out War, what is 21 years of For Those Who Were Crucified? Did that take you by surprise? Did they consult you guys about that, or did it just kind of land and you read it like we all did?
They approached us. Well, they told us that they wanted to do it, and they asked me some questions. I had really no idea. I had an idea about a couple of people that contributed, but not everybody. So it was really cool to see it come out yesterday. And it was very, very cool that people appreciate that record all these years later. So, yeah, we're real thankful for Kerrang and everybody that contributed to the piece that came out. So it was pretty awesome.
And as much as people love that record, and you guys have never been like this huge commercial success, like, you know, it's cool to see you guys getting the love now, you know, while you're still here and you can still enjoy it.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Right on, man. Well, you guys, you know, I have a question about this, because you guys came along in a time when a lot of there was heavier hardcore, but you guys just brought such a like metallic edge to it. Where was that influence coming from? Because, you know, hardcore, sometimes it can be kind of, you know,
Sectioned.
Yeah, in a box, you know, and you guys kind of added the, like, you know, Slayer, Creator, kind of like thrash influence. Were you guys big metal kids growing up?
Oh yeah, like we never fit in, you know, and and that's been awesome. And we don't really give a shit. Can I say that?
No, amen.
Either way, you know? So, like, I think that that's been a lot of, like, the confusion, especially with some of these kids that are expecting, like, what they see as metalcore, because we're coming at it from a whole different angle. I mean, we're influenced by Creator and Sodom and you know, Destruction, all the German thrash bands. Yeah. Those were big influences on us. And, you know, you always hear people talk about what is metalcore, what isn't metalcore. I don't even know what that is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, as far as I'm concerned, we're coming at it from more of a metal angle, and our hardcore influences are the more aggressive types of hardcore bands, like Cro-Mags, and a lot of the crossover stuff, Carnivore, Crumbsuckers. So, yeah. I mean, we're more of a straight-up metal band with a tiny bit of hardcore thrown in there. I mean, we're not...
You guys got... You break it down, 50-50. Though. You guys toss though. You guys hit the tastiest of the breakdowns.
Yeah.
And that doesn't have some metal kids are like, oh, you know, I don't know about that, this and that. But you guys did it, and 21 years later, here we are.
I think, you know, too many bands too get hung up on just writing for the breakdown, and they don't really consider the whole song. You know, they just kind of go for the breakdown, and they're like, let's just throw something together so we can get to the breakdown. And when we write songs, it's a little bit different, because we're coming at it, like I said before, from like more of a metal angle. So we're trying to build on all elements of it. So that makes the breakdown a little bit more intense when you do it that way. Other than just writing breakdown after breakdown,
yes.
Just do it.
There's some bands
start with the breakdown.
Some bands are like, all right, we got 16 breakdowns. Now let's make a record around it.
Right. And let's just throw some parts together to get to another breakdown.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Start with the breakdown, end with the breakdown. I got to ask you, man, so this is something that, you know, I've always kind of wondered. So you guys are an upstate New York band.
Right.
New York hardcore is like this term. It's like this incredible lineage of like this history. Is upstate New York hardcore? Is it New York hardcore,
or is
New York hardcore have to just be New York City?
Syracuse, or like, but yeah, Buffalo, or like,
is New York hardcore just New York City, or is it the entire state?
I think it's probably just the city to be like real. What I consider New York hardcore,
okay.
You know, I mean, we're not that far away from New York City, but we're kind of in a no man's land, and we've definitely been helped out by a lot of New York hardcore bands that have, you know, brought us down. And but you know, I mean, that's a complicated question, but to me, New York hardcore is you know, Sick of It All, Agnostic Front, you know, all those bands,
yeah.
Outburst,
Cro-Mags, Madball, yeah.
Right.
Right on, man. Well, I, you know, just going along that line, you know, growing up, what were some of your first shows? Like, you know, what were the bands that you saw, whether it be metal, punk, hardcore? What, if you can look back, like, what were your first concerts you attended?
Like, well, the first, let's see, the first probably straight up metal concert I attended wasn't like a local thing, was probably Metallica and Metal Church.
Nice.
And then I kind of started to like branch out, and I went to see, you know, like I would go to see Nuclear Assault, and I saw Nuclear Assault with Broken Bones.
Wow, so that's awesome.
Sort of dragged me into the hardcore world. Then I went to see Creator on that DRI Holy Terror tour.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You guys, I don't know if you know that tour.
Oh, yeah. Then you're into crossover.
I started to get more and more. Yeah, so I get more and more like pulled into like the hardcore stuff, and then I started going to both, you know, like we always talk about this, like All Out War, especially Eric and I would go to like CBGB's, but we'd also go to L'Amour.
Okay.
You know,
all
so
right.
We would be seeing the metal shows, and then we'd be seeing the hardcore shows. So I mean, to me, you know, I just liked heavy music.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't like trying to be like a seamster or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I just love brutal, aggressive music. And I didn't get what it was.
Amen.
Just as long as it was heavy, you know?
CBGB's always gets the like reputation as like the best venue, but I always hear some crazy stories coming out of Lemoore's. What are some memorable moments from that venue for you?
Well, just seeing Carnivore at Lemoore was like amazing. You know, just to be able to see that, mm-hmm. you know. And I mean, just like again, it was just a great time for heavy music in New York. You know, and then there was this other club that was a little bit outside of New York in Westchester County, called New York City anyway, called Streets in New Rochelle.
Okay.
And I saw again Nuclear Assault there, and then I saw Maximum Penalty for the first time.
Nice.
There.
Wow.
You know, I forget who it was with. I definitely went to a metal show and Maximum Penalty played.
Hey, what year was that? What year was that for you there? If you could,
this is all right around 88, I would say.
Killer.
Nice.
And then there was a band from here called Primeval that was great, and they played Streets a lot.
Nice, dude. Well, I mean, these are some pretty iconic shows, and like I'm sure like left a big impression on you. Going back, I mean, probably even before then, like what even if it's embarrassing, I want you to admit it, okay? Like, what was the first CD, tape, vinyl, whatever, the first piece of physical music that you purchased on your own with your own money?
With your own money.
Rat Out of the Cellar.
Yeah!
Hell yeah.
Rat and Roll.
Hell yeah. That's
right
awesome.
Out of the Cellar was definitely the first like record that I bought,
and it was all it's been all uphill and downhill from there.
All right, what's it going to take
to
get?
I'll tell you, I talked to somebody just the other day about like what got me into heavy music, and you're going to laugh because Bob Dylan Desire, that record,
okay,
was like something I heard when I was a little kid. I didn't have to buy it because my father had it,
yeah.
But like. That first song, Hurricane, with you know, that to me as a little kid, that was aggressive stuff.
Yeah,
I know it sounds ridiculous, but
no, man, that's what I love to hear. Love hearing that.
You're talking to someone who bought Corey Hart Sunglasses at Night on cassette single, so you know I have no room to judge, dude. Right
hey,
on,
you
man.
Know what? I do have a question for you, actually, about especially after the anniversary of For Those Who Were Crucified. Like, look, when I was a kid, like, I never got to go trick-or-treating because my mom took me to my grandparents' house, and they were, like, not having it, and used to have to go to church and stuff like that. A lot of your lyrics are based around, like religious, like, things that they preach and talk about. Were you do you have to go through that as a kid? Like, how do you know about all this stuff?
I was always fascinated with the apocalyptic stuff.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and a lot of the imagery creeps into the music, and it's more like just painting a picture of how, you know, how much darkness is in the light, you know, and yeah. how you know, we're so hypocritical, and it's definitely going to head for something bad if we're not a little bit more vigilant with what's going on.
Amen.
I think it already has.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
It's a weird world that we live in now. I was just curious because, man, because I had to live through that, and we're here now, you know. All of War is one of my favorite bands of all time.
I was definitely, you know, as a kid, forced to go, but I saw the hypocrisy even then because my parents were like, drop us off and then leave, you know, and they never went. My sister and I had to go, and then, you know, as soon as we were like 14, then we never had to go again, and we never did.
Nice.
Cool, I'm out of here. Later. Keep your 10%.
Mike, so you mentioned that you guys don't do this as like a full-time job. What are some of the kind of things that you guys do? Like what are some of the careers or jobs that you guys have during the week? And then how do you guys maintain that with writing new music and whatnot?
Well, I teach world history, so
wow.
I'm a teacher. So
that's awesome.
That's
good
amazing
for me because I'm off.
Yeah,
and our guitar player is social worker. Our bass player does construction.
Cool.
Terrace does construction, and then Jesse works for IBM. He does Something with computers. I'm not even sure what he does.
Okay.
He does something.
What if Mike from All Out War was your high school history teacher?
Oh, my God.
Hey, the drummer in my band is a high school history teacher, too, man. So I know. I hear about a lot of it.
It's a great gig.
Summer's time to tour, right? Or at least play some shows, right?
Yeah. Play some shows.
Yeah.
I mean, we do a lot during the school year, too, because I have a lot of time off.
That's killer.
You know, with breaks and stuff.
When did you decide you wanted to be a teacher? Like, I'm obviously, you had to go to school for that. So was it something you always kind of considered?
Well, I always, like early on in the band's history, I went to school, and then when All Out War went on the road, I took some time off. So I was very, like, went to college in an unconventional type of way.
Yeah.
I went a semester, took a year or two off. I went to school a semester, took a year off. You know, I did it that way.
Do it on your own terms, right?
Right, totally. Like, I was never one of those people that needed the college experience or anything like that. You know, if anything, I was totally anti that.
Right.
So it worked out well for me because I actually moved to a college town so I could go to school a little bit easier. So I had this apartment that I could maintain when All I wore was on the road. And then I just, when we got back, I went to school and took some classes and then went back out on the road.
Nice.
This is one of my, like, I gotta know. Do you, like, run into punk kids at school? Like, metal kids, punk kids? Does anybody recognize you? And if not, do you ever have the opportunity to pull, like, one of these kids aside that you can tell kind of gets it and talk to them about hard music, heavy music, underground music?
Do kids even like guitar music anymore?
I'm curious. Well, as a teacher,
When I first started teaching, a lot of kids were going to the shows just because, you know. And then the scene kind of in this area comes in waves. So what you have is, like, every couple of years you'll have, like, that group of kids that's, like, really into cool stuff, whether it be, like, hardcore, whether it be, like, thrash. And then those kids will graduate and the year go by, 2 years, and then another group of kids will come through.
Yeah.
So it's funny how it comes in waves, you know. But like, there's always some kids that I talk music with.
Nice.
You know, there's always a couple of those kids that are really into stuff, you know.
You're like unbutton your shirt and you're like, this is a Slayer shirt. Ever heard of them?
Well, I try to keep the tattoos covered, but they always know, and they're really funny because they'll always see something on the internet and they'll think they got something on me. So they'll come up to me and they'll whisper to me and like they'll show it to me and they'll be like, they'll sort of throw it out there like, don't worry, I'm not going to tell anybody. And it's like, man, everybody knows. But it's really funny that they think they got something on me, but they're going to keep that secret. You know, they're going to do me a solid and they're going to keep the secret.
I've been doing this before you were born.
Everyone knows.
Yeah. It's cool that you guys are all able to like still do this and that's like it's badass because you obviously you love it and you don't have to be a full-time touring band all the time and you don't have to do it like balls to the wall all the time. You can make the records, you can play when you want, you can hold down your jobs, hold down your lives, hold down your families. But my question is like, what has kept you guys consistently like doing this and interested, and have you guys ever hit the lull and what's kept you invigorated about it?
No, I mean, I don't even know anything else, you know. I mean, this is what I do. This is my social life. You know, what else would I do? Like, you know, everybody, like, I don't know, like, what do guys like play golf? You know, what am I gonna do besides this? You know, I mean. You know, I met my wife playing shows. I actually have a side band with my wife.
Nice.
Below the Frost, it has my wife. She used to be in a band called Starkweather. She plays bass.
Oh, wow.
I sing.
We got to get this.
Matt from Hatebreed plays drums, and Mike from Primeval, who also did some time in Demolition Hammer, he plays guitar.
Damn. Holy crap, we got to look this up. You guys have an album?
No, we just actually, we released the song. Decibel Stream did it like around January.
Damn, we're going to play that.
Oh, yeah. We'll get
it. So we're, well, we're going to put out an EP, I guess. You know, my wife handles all the, you know, I'm just in that band. I'm just, I just sing. You know?
Right.
But she writes all the music.
Nice.
And, you know, and I mean, it's hard for us to play because Matt's always out on the road with Hatebreed.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we just, she writes stuff and then we get together and jam and we've been recording some songs.
That's
our
awesome.
Guitar player has a studio. So,
sorry to sidetrack you though, man. We were on the point of like, what do you do? What else do you do? You were saying you met your wife through the music.
Right. So I played with Starkweather years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where we met. And then all my friends, you know, socially, they're all from like the metal scene or the hardcore scene.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is what we do. So this is, I wouldn't know what else to do. You know, this is my passion, my hobby, my, you know, everything.
Hey, and you guys do it well. I will say that much.
Thanks.
It'd be a weird time to get out of it and then all of a sudden just start showing up to these dance clubs like, hello, fellow kids.
Right.
I'm cool like you, right?
Yeah.
Hey,
right.
Mike, from All Out War, we've been talking to him here on Metal Shop on KISW. We got one last question for you. Actually, it's one of our favorite questions to ask every band we talk to. If you can, pick a scar on your body and tell us the story about how you got it.
The only, and this is dating myself on how old I am, because I have a huge scar on my stomach that looks like I got stabbed.
Oh, damn.
Huge gash. And I had appendicitis.
Oh, okay.
You know, today they take out your appendix. They don't even leave a scar.
Yeah.
But I had it when I had appendicitis when I was at 11. And, you know, my parents, I'm telling them my stomach's killing me. And they didn't buy it at all.
Like,
they thought I just didn't want to go to school. And so it burst, you know. So I was in the hospital for a while. But they had it's the only, like, real scar I got, but it's huge. But anytime somebody sees it, they're always like,
"Oh, you got shanked?
You get stabbed?" It's like, you know, I always want to lie and be like, "Yeah, oh hell yeah, I got stabbed," and tell them some crazy story. But you know, the truth is much more boring. It's just I had appendicitis when I was a kid.
It was the All Out War riot of 1998.
Right. So that's the only scar I got.
Word, man.
I have another scar. My hand is all. My sister vacuumed up my hand with a vacuum cleaner when I was a little kid.
Damn it, sister.
So I got those scars, too.
It's always the siblings.
Yeah.
Hey, we're talking to Mike from All Out War. Hey, man, thank you so much for talking to us. And, hey, you guys got to bring All Out War back to Seattle sometime.
Oh, we'd love to. I mean, we were out on the West Coast with Integrity. In April, and we just didn't have time to make it up to Seattle with those dates, so we just did the California dates.
Fair enough, man. Well, if you come out this way, we'll make sure to bring the mosh for you and buy you a few beers. Crawl Among the Filth coming out this Friday. Give us one word to describe the record before we hear it.
One word. Aggressive.
Nice.
All right,
Mike. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us, and we'll be seeing you soon.
All right, thank you guys.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.